talking about pardon the interruption. We've been in a little series. I've been kind of enjoyed it, talking about life has a lot of interruptions, and it's interesting how that we cope and how we deal with life's interruptions. And everybody has interruptions on different levels. Some people have a lot of challenges in life, and it's just interesting. The title of my message this morning is Handling Life's Curveballs. Talk about the Astros. God help them. God help them. Got some fans out there, I know. Yeah, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Keep the faith. Life can throw you some curveballs. I don't know how they hit them balls going 98 mile an hour curveball. That's just a challenge. I heard about a guy he had front row tickets, Minute Maid Park at home plate, World Series. Another guy comes down and they ask him if anybody's sitting in the seat next to him. It was empty. He said, no, that seat's empty. And that guy goes, whoa, that's crazy. Who in their right mind would have a seat like this for the World Series, the biggest day of all baseball, and no one bothered to show up? Sadly, the man says, well, the seat actually belongs to me. I was supposed to come here with my wife, but she passed away. This is the first World Series we've missed since we got married in 1964. Guy go, man, I'm sorry. What a shame. Couldn't you have found someone else, a friend or relative or a neighbor, to take the seat, though? Guy goes, no. He says, they're all at the funeral. That ain't right. That ain't right. Easy, easy. It's okay. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. Man. That was a curveball right there. That's what that was. It wasn't real fast. More like a changeup. Curveball is an unexpected interruption in normal life routine. It could be anything from your hard drive crashing on your computer or when a tragedy in your life happened. Life curveballs can come from a variety of sources, sometimes because of our own actions. Consequences come, and in the Message Bible, it's pretty blunt. Proverbs 19, verse 3, it says, people ruin their lives by their own stupidity, so why does God always get blamed? Sometimes our lives get ruined by our own. Now, the Message Bible, just for FYI, the Message Bible was meant to be more of a devotional study. It's not word for word through the Greek, but you kind of get the picture. Many times life's interruptions come suddenly and unexpectedly. We need to be ready for curveballs in life. We should be ready for interruptions. The reality is that curveballs are always coming. Jesus told us himself that in this world we will have trouble. John 16:33. The word trouble, listen to this. The word trouble means pressure. You ever feel pressure in your life? Sometimes it's like, Calgon, take me away. I know that's an old commercial, but it's like, sometimes the pressure just gets to be too much. By the way, you know what a big shot is? That's a little squirt under pressure. Yeah. That's sad, too. At some point, though, a relationship will go wrong, loved ones will pass away, somebody will get sick, the bank account will go down. When I think about people who had a lot of curveballs thrown on them in life, I think about the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. If anyone had some curveballs thrown his direction, it was Joseph. Unfortunately, I don't have time to read the whole story. And I just encourage you to go home and read it. It's in Genesis chapter 37 through 50, chapter 50. Joseph has this dream, and he shares his dream with his brothers, and in the dream his family bows down to him, he's a young man, and how he delivered the message of the dream, he might have got a little bit too cocky, I don't know, but they didn't take it the right way. So the brothers were offended. They didn't like Joseph. He was his daddy's favorite. Parenthetically, sometimes it's not wise for us to share everything that we know. Sometimes it's wise to wait. And I just want to throw that out at you. But use wisdom with your words. And weigh your words before you share your words. Amen. Word to the wise. But he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was falsely accused of having an affair with his boss's wife and then thrown into prison. In other words, he was raised up in Egypt because he was sold into slavery in Egypt. And he was raised up because he had the favor of God on him. And Pharaoh's wife got eyes for him and tried to, you know. He wasn't going for it, and he ran, and she yanked a coat off of him, then told Pharaoh, and Pharaoh threw him back in prison. So his life was full of ups and downs. In his story and others like, there are some important truths that we can find to help us handle life's curveballs. As you read through the life of Joseph, we don't ever see him shaking his fist at God and saying why. It's interesting. Here we go. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. It says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me." This is Joseph talking to his brothers. "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." Joseph had the right attitude toward the interruptions of life. And I would submit to you today through this message, your biggest challenge, my biggest challenge in life, is to have the right attitude in the interruption. The biggest challenge that you'll have is to keep and guard your attitude. My first point is to stay faithful to God. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him in chapter 39, verse 19. It says, "So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. And then Joseph's master took him, put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And there he was in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph." Y'all keep this in mind. The Lord was with Joseph when he was in prison. And then it says, "And showed him mercy in prison and gave him favor in prison in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority." In other words, he trusted Joseph. Why? Joseph had proved himself to be trustworthy. Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, everybody say, whatever he did. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. First, his brothers betray him for no cause, and Pharaoh's wife accuses him for no cause. Joseph could have said, "Why are all of these things happening to me?" I don't know if you've ever said that or not. He didn't say that. God's hand of blessing was on Joseph while he was in prison. I believe Joseph kept his cool. He didn't lose his religion. When pressure was on him and he was unfairly thrown in prison, but he never blamed God. God continued to give Joseph favor and prospered him because he stayed faithful to God through life's curveballs. The second thing is to renounce all bitterness and unforgiveness. To renounce, that means to express through your words and through your mouth, to renounce all bitterness and unforgiveness. I'd like for you to say this with me because I think it's important for all of us here to renounce any bitterness and unforgiveness. Would you not agree? So let's say it together. I renounce all bitterness and unforgiveness. Now, if you mean that in your heart, somebody might have come to your mind. You might be thinking about somebody that you are bitter toward, somebody that you may not have forgiven. Did you know that bitterness and unforgiveness in your life and harboring that bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies from it? Bitterness and unforgiveness affects you more than it affects anybody else. Is there anyone in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, he says, don't be afraid of me. I am God to judge. I am God to judge and punish you. Do not be afraid of me. Do not be afraid of me. Am I God to judge and punish? That's what Joseph said. Am I God to judge and punish? Now, my question to you this morning, is there anyone in your life that you would like to judge or punish? My point is that you are not God, and it's not your place to judge or punish. I would submit today, I'm just going to stay here for a second. I would submit to you today in a crowd this size and crowds watching online that there are those who this morning, God has chose this morning to bring healing to your spirit and healing to your body because you are going to renounce every bit of bitterness and unforgiveness toward somebody who messed you around. You may have deserved it or you may not have deserved it, but it really doesn't matter because bitterness and unforgiveness can be devastating. But forgiveness and peace will come when you renounce bitterness and unforgiveness. Now, Joseph had every right to punish his brothers. You know why? Because they punished him. Well, you punished me. You messed me around. You. It's a vicious circle, isn't it? But he never let that get in him. I realize that for some, life has been unfair. Don't allow bitterness or anger to lay a hold of your life. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Everyone has different problems at different levels. Max Lucado in the book, The Applause of Heaven, tells us about a young man named Robert Reed who has cerebral palsy. He can't brush his teeth. He can't comb his hair. He can't bathe himself. He can't dress himself. He can't button his shirt. He has to depend on other people to do that for him. He can't take a walk. He can't go from one place to another by his own power. But his handicap did not rob him from graduating from high school and finally earning a degree at Abilene Christian College. Robert Reed decided that he would study to be a missionary. So he taught a couple years at junior college in St. Louis, then took 5 trips to different missionary fields, finally settled in Lisbon, Portugal, to be a missionary. Robert Reed found a hotel owner who would rent him, who would rent him a ground floor room. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him after hours each day. He found a tutor who would teach him the lesson. And every day he wheeled out to the city park and passed out Christian literature to people who walked by. He spoke to them in his voice that sounded like a record player whose batteries were about to run down. He told them about the love of God and the love of Jesus. In 6 years, Robert Reed won more than 70 people to Jesus. One of them was a young girl named Rosa, who later became his wife. You see, in your faithfulness, no matter what your handicap, God will bless you. By the way, we could all park in the handicap spots because every one of us are handicapped. People under construction. Max Lucado said this. He said, I sat in an audience of thousands and watched as strong men grabbed his wheelchair, him sitting in it, and lifted him to the platform so that he could speak to the vast audience of people. I watched him as he took his stiff fingers and tried to turn the pages of his Bible. And along with thousands of others, I wiped my tears in admiration. Here is one who could have complained. He could have been bitter. He could have asked, why me? One who could have asked, why do bad things happen to God's people? But instead, he said, Robert Reed read in his drawn-out way the word of God, and he gave his testimony. And when he came to the end of it, he lifted up his bent hand and his arm and said, I have everything I need. Cato adds, his shirts are held together with Velcro, but his life is held together by the joy of God. Whatever it takes, do whatever it takes to keep bitterness from rising up in our life in the middle of life's curveballs. The third point is that God has a greater purpose through your pain. A greater purpose, but it's through the pain. Somebody said, no pain, no gain. I don't like that. But many times it is true. Many times the process of pain will reveal God's plan and purpose. Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 45:5, it says, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. Sometimes people need to be blessed with a voice of forgiveness, not just a word that's in our heart. Sometimes we need to share that forgiveness with other people. He says, don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. In other words, he had a purpose in this. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there's still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing or harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. He said, don't be angry with yourself. In other words, what he was saying was, this is interesting. Don't live with regret in your life because of what you've done. Does anybody have any regrets? Who doesn't have regrets? If you don't have regrets, I'm like, what world are you living in, you little sinner? You with me? It's like, we've all sinned, right? We should regret that sin. But what Joseph was saying, he says, don't live with your regrets. Don't hold those things against yourself. I want peace for you because you are my brother. said, get rid of the regret. Don't allow regret. Don't give regret a place in your life. I love that. And I don't know where I'm at in my notes. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. It's important for us. Listen, it's important for us to understand something here. God never puts his stamp of approval on evil or sin. Amen. His brothers were sinned against him, and his brothers were evil, but God took that bad and made it into good. Is anybody here that God's took something bad in your life and made good come out of it? I'm telling you, the beauty of who God is, this is one area of many areas, but this is one of the areas that I've noticed in life, that God can take a bad situation and turn it around and make good come out of it. I mean, all we got to do is look at ourselves and know that God has taken us and made good come out of ourselves. See, it was wrong for Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. But as Joseph looked back in his life, he sees how it was no accident that he was where he was. Even in the midst of everything that was going on in life, God used it for good. As a matter of fact, he used Joseph's life to save many other lives. How many here were alive when the Twin Towers were bombed? Do you remember that in New York City? Raise your hand. That's one of those events it's just vivid. And I remember exactly where I was, and it was just a surreal moment. It was written about that. Max Lucado, again, he said this, he wrote about it. He said, the week that forever changed our world. 4,000, listen to this, 4,000 gathered for midday prayer in a downtown cathedral in New York City church. And they filled the church 6 times. The owner of a Manhattan tennis shoe store threw open his doors and gave running shoes to all of those who fled from the towers. People stood in line to give blood in hospitals to treat the sick, in sanctuaries to pray for the wounded Americans. America was different this week. We wept for people we didn't know. We sent money to families that we've never seen. Talk show hosts read scriptures. That's a miracle. Journalists printed prayers. Our focus shifted from fashion hemlines and box scores to orphans and widows and the future of the world. We were different this week. Republicans stood next to Democrats. Catholics prayed with Jews. Skin color was covered by the ash of burning towers. This was a different country than it was a week ago. We're not as self-centered as we were. We're not as self-reliant as we were. Hands are out. And knees are bent. This is not normal. And I have to ask the question, do we want to go back to normal? Are we being given a glimpse of a new way of life? Are we, as a nation, being reminded that the enemy is not each other, and the power is not ourselves, and the future is not in our bank accounts? Could this unselfish prayerfulness be a way that God intended for us to live all along? Maybe this, in his eyes, is the way we are called to live. And perhaps the best response to this tragedy is to refuse to go back to normal. Perhaps the best response to follow the example of Tom Burnett. He was a passenger of Flight 93. Minutes before the plane crashed in the fields of Pennsylvania, he reached his wife by cell phone. We're all going to die, he told her. There's 3 of us, and we're going to do something about it. I never have really been kind of a doomsday kind of a guy, because I'm always like, the glass is mostly full. If our nation ever needed what we have here this morning, it needs it now. If our nation ever needed the love of Jesus, it needs it now. If we're just focused on our own stuff and focused on what we value and focused on just getting ahead in life, it will be a distraction from our purpose. If life's curveballs are, we're so consumed with the curveballs that we don't realize that we can make a difference with the lot in life that we've been dealt, then we are distracted from our purpose. God has called every person in this building today, every person watching online, every person who names the name of Jesus, who have been set aside for a purpose, for those who have set yourselves apart as a perpetual worshiper, he has set you up to be an ambassador holding the flag high for the kingdom of God, because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And I don't know about you, but there's people outside of these walls of this church that are hungry for a living God. And if the living people who have found the living God don't share him with them, how will they know? Because we get so focused on ourselves that we don't share him with them. It's not about us. It's about him, and his greatest treasure is people. God, help us. We can still do something about it. We can resolve to care more, to pray more, to pray more, to share more. We can resolve that God being our helper, we will never go back. My prayer today is for everybody in this building never to go back to normal. Let's get rid of normal. Let's not just sit in our rocking chair. Just wait on something to happen. Let's get out there and beat the bushes and let people know that there is a God in heaven that cares for them and loves them, because this world is not our home. Amen. We're going to take a trip. The good old gospel shit. We don't live by explanations. We live by promises. There's too many people wanting too much explanation for everything. Let's get into the promises of the Word of God, and let's live by the promises, and let him guide us through life as he guided Joseph. Romans chapter 8, the promises, verse 18, it says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared with the glory that he will give us later. Verse 28, and we know that God causes everything, everybody say everything, God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I don't know what kind of curveballs is being thrown your way today, but I trust that your commitment to Christ will be able to handle every curveball that you have. I watched some of the games, some of the world. For those of you who don't know, there's a World Series going on, and the Astros are in it, and I've watched some of it. I don't know how they hit those 98 mile per hour curveballs. I mean, that's like fast. I'm not sure I could hit one. I would like to try, but I don't know. It's usually challenging. But if you ever looked at them whenever they whenever they're standing up there to plate, and strike one, strike two, and strike three, and they strike out. If you ever look at their face, next time they do that, look at their face. You know what they're thinking? I'm going to tell you. I know exactly what they're thinking. They're thinking, I wish I had that one pitch over again. I wish I could do that again. I wish I had one more chance. Did you know in baseball, three strikes, you're out? But with Jesus, he's the God of second chances. Somebody asked him, he said, how many times should we forgive one another? He said, seven. Jesus says 70 times 70. And in case you don't know math, don't ever stop forgiving. God didn't say, three strikes and you're out. Can you say, thank you, Jesus, that you're not out in three strikes? If I could just have it over again. I want you to know, I just come to church this morning to tell you, to give you this information from a holy God. You can have it over again. You don't have to live in your regrets. You don't have to live in your past. You don't have to live in the issues and the problems that have come your way in life. You can have victory today, and you don't have to live in the bitterness and the unforgiveness. God is a miracle working God, and you can have another chance. I don't care if it's your third chance or your 100th chance. He is here to forgive. So we thank you, Lord. We know, God, that so many times you give us what we need and not necessarily what we deserve. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that comes from knowing you. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. The scripture says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. It also says that there's only one name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus, he didn't need three strikes because he never sinned. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin. When did he become sin? When he hung on the cross, because he bore our sin on the cross so that we could have access to him and come into his presence. Now, here's one of the things that I also appreciate about God is that he will never make you serve him. He's not going to come to your chair and shake you and say, you better straighten up. He doesn't do that. He allows us to make choices. And the reason he does that is because he honors you and he honors your choice and he honors your will. And until you make your decision to submit to him, he will never make you serve him. The truth is that eternity is a long time. And he created you to spend eternity with him, but he's going to allow you to make those choices. So this morning, if you've never invited him into your heart, or maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him. Simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life. And I want to receive him as my Savior. Thank you back there in the back. We're going to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Slip your hand up high. Anybody else? We're going to put a Bible in your hand. Yep. Thank you, partner. I'm proud for you. Leave your hand up till we get a Bible in it, please. Thank you. Anybody else? Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He wasn't ashamed of you when he hung on the cross. I mean, this is like, it's better than free tickets to the Astro game. I'll tell you that for sure. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Anybody else? I feel like the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to somebody. Please think this over. And give your life to Christ. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Preacher, that's me. Anybody, slip your hand up high. Amen. If you raised your hand, would you look up at me? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? Come on, buddy. Back in the back. Come on up here and let me pray with you. I'd be honored if you do that. Come on, buddy. There you go. It's a good day. Family, thank you. Oh, I'm proud of you. Look at you. What's your name?
Sarah.
You're so sweet. Thank you. I love you. Proud of you guys. I'm good. Thank you for coming up.
Good to meet you.
Thank you, buddy. I want to embarrass you, but this is a good deal. Come on. Oh, good. Now, listen here. I want to talk to y'all for a second. Here's what the Bible says. It says, if we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So simple. So simple. People try to complicate that relationship with Jesus. It's not complicated. And I'm honored as y'all come up. So let me pray with you. I want to lead you in prayer. So if you just repeat after me, I'll help you confess with your mouth. But you have to believe in your heart, okay? Y'all help us pray. Just repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now look here. Look here. Listen. Yeah, you did need that. We all need it. Now look here. It's a new day. Here's what Jesus called it. He called it being born again. You know, like today is y'all's spiritual birthday. And it doesn't matter what age you are. It's your birthday. So write that down in your Bible and a line in the sand that this is the day that I committed my life to Jesus. You remember that for the rest of your life. You'll have problems and life will throw you some curveballs, but you can make it through anything with Jesus. Okay? Man, I'm proud of y'all. Go visit with these folks over here for just a second, if you don't mind. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, buddy. You stand with me, please. Don't you know that devil's down there going, I hate that place. Have our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, my goodness, that's what we're here for. Prayer changes things. You know, we got people praying around here all week long for Sunday morning. I know y'all pray too. And if you've not made it a habit of praying for your pastors and praying for your church, put that on your prayer list, okay? Because we, Lord knows, we need it really bad. Amen. Okay. We renounced bitterness and unforgiveness. We said that. Y'all remember that? How many say, preacher, when I said that, I meant it, I needed it, and I'm serious about it, and I've renounced bitterness and unforgiveness in my life. Raise your hand. That you're not going to, it's not you, it's not who you are. Everybody say, it's not who I am. You know what I smell? I smell victory. Can you smell it? I smell victory. Y'all got to get out of here. We got to do this again. Let me pray for you. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for who you are in us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Holy Spirit, continue to walk with us through this week. Lord, when we get out into the world and we're tempted to be bitter or ask Why me? I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to think back on Joseph's life, Lord, and to realize that you have a purpose. And even if the enemy comes in, that the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. And we thank you, Lord, for the power and the purpose that you've put in every individual here and everybody watching online. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. We love y'all. God bless you. It's a good day.